Hello and welcome to Marvelously Married. I'm Haley.
I'm Hoagie.
We're so happy you're here with us today. This is our 7th episode.
Am I just making that up? Yeah, I think so. So we're going to talk about Black Panther, Wakanda Forever at the end of the podcast.
Stay tuned.
If there's anything you want to skip or fast forward around, jump around, whatever.
Jump around.
The chapters. And if you're on Spotify, hit the highlighted chapter number, the timestamp. And if you're on any other app, there's in the show notes. It will tell you
what to do. You can move the sliders. So we do have a little bit of reality TV stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of food. We ate really good this week.
Yeah, we do most weeks.
Yeah, TBH.
TBH.
Hoagie, what are you drinking today?
I just have a little purple drink, my flavored water. I know. I said I was trying to cut down, and I definitely cut out at least 4 purple drinks since I've said that and had fruit water, but.
Yeah, then he's got to wash the fruit water cup, and that's when he goes back to the purple drink.
What are you drinking? Looks like a little...
Remnants of a crispy Diet Coke.
Okay, yeah.
Once was crispy, now pretty flat.
Yeah, gross.
But speaking of purple drink, I did just want to let everybody know that today was my first full day. This wasn't on purpose. This was a total accident that I did not have any pink drink, my Crystal Light. First time ever that my Simple Modern pink tumbler cup, first time ever that just water and ice has touched that bad boy, was literally today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, like I said, I know that I kind of put out there into the universe that I wanted to eventually cut it out. Well, I ran out. I went to make my pitcher this morning because I drank 1 gallon size thing and it was gone. So I said, you know what? Today's the day. But after a full day, I will report the water was refreshing, very crisp, kept me going, hydrated. But I will be going back to pink drink tomorrow. But I think next week I'm going to try and do 2 days of just water.
Good job.
I think that I need to wean myself off of it. At this point, it's just kind of part of my DNA. So
yeah,
I can't just stop cold turkey. That's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. If you want to contact the show or keep in touch with us, we have an Instagram account at Marvelously Married.
Yes.
And an email, marvelouslymarried@gmail.com. Those are 2 ways that you can interact.
Yeah.
Another way is I post every week a question about the episode or something we talked about to get, you know, input from other people. So those are on Spotify and you can respond in the Spotify app. You can also respond to that question on the Instagram post where we announce the episode because I started including it in those posts as well. So we did get a couple responses.
We did.
From Spotify responses. They're from the same person, Bex.
Oh, okay. Shout out, Bex.
Bex.
She sounds so cool.
So this one, I can't remember what episode it was, but it was when my allergies to Chloe were brought up.
Oh.
And she said, fine, I'll take Chloe off your hands.
If I must.
Yeah, she must. Chloe doesn't like cats, so that's not going to work
so
out.
So if Bex has a cat.
If Bex has a cat.
I don't think that'll work.
Mystery person. So, and then the next Spotify response, Spotify gives you a limited number of characters. So this one carried over to an Instagram comment. So I have pieced them together.
Oh, it's like a scavenger hunt. That's fun.
Yes. So this was about TTPB.
TTYL.
Tortured Poets Department. I have to be careful. I don't say society.
You don't want to say that. It's embarrassing.
Okay. So Beck says, I was super disappointed by my first listen, but it's definitely growing on me. It's just too many songs. That was whale speak.
Yeah. that was. That was good. Good thing you speak Whale.
I've read that some people just choose their 13 favorites from the album and make a separate playlist, because otherwise it's seriously tiresome to listen to 31 songs. I think the album is too long, and that some of this processing slash trauma dumping she wrote about should have maybe just not made it onto the album. I'm also not a fan of Maddie Healy, but come on, I get it, babes. Who hasn't had a messy thing with a tattooed golden retriever? Hi, it's me. I haven't. Any hoozles. My favorite song currently is Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Love the pod. Big fan.
Aww.
Thanks, Bex.
That was such a nice comment.
I had trouble reading it because it's in emoji and stuff. So sorry if I slaughtered it.
And you just have trouble reading.
Yeah, I'm not good at reading out loud, actually.
So
there's that. Yeah. So thanks for that. So if anybody wants to respond, we'll read those on the pod.
Yeah, and that was a good comment. Very thorough. Talk about it.
Or if you leave a review, which we love reviews, you can review our pod on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts.
Wherever you listen.
Wherever you listen. Probably. Some of them have reviews. Some of them don't. But subscribe if you like hearing from us on whatever app you're listening on, and then you'll always know.
Yeah, turn those notifications on if that's a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time. It'll be mostly on Mondays.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Yeah.
Next, on this show, if you're new, we do a little icebreaker called our D20 question. So Haley rolls a 20-sided die, and then it corresponds, that number, we look up a spreadsheet, 20 different options, and we read that question, we talk about it. You can submit questions to that spreadsheet if you'd like by email, Instagram message, however you want to get a hold of us. But
yeah, we
love
it
when... Yeah, we
want to get some more listener questions.
Yeah, more listener questions would be fun, because I tend to just pick like financial questions that are boring.
It's very niche.
Yes.
Very,
This podcast is about Trader Joe's, Marvel, reality TV, and
our finances.
Yes.
So fun. Okay, I'm going to roll the die. 15.
Wow, that one is a listener question.
It is?
Yeah.
Nice, from who?
Can you just talk in your mic,
baby?
Oh,
sorry.
Thanks.
Did you call me baby?
No.
Oh, thank God.
What did I say?
Oh, did you say maybe?
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Oh, man, I was like,
Okay, so, listener Becca.
Oh.
This is a podcast about...
I wonder if she knows Bex.
She might. If you could pick any Marvel superhero or villain and have an entire Broadway musical written about it, who would it be and why?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Wow, I like that. I feel like it would be really cool to have one written about Hawkeye.
Oh.
And like the Young Avenger, Kate, is that her name?
Yeah, Kate Bishop.
Yeah,
she's also Hawkeye.
I feel like that would be cool, like the arrows and bow and arrow and stuff. I feel like you could get some good choreography in there with those props.
Yeah.
That was the first one. That was the first thing I thought of.
Okay.
So what about you?
Mine would be Ant-Man.
Oh.
Which is funny because in the musical, in the Hawkeye show, he was like, you know, there's that whole joke because he wasn't there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
in the Battle
of
New York or whatever, but he's in the musical somehow.
I forgot about the musical. That's funny.
But the reason that I think Ant-Man would be fun is because... your set design, you'd have like really big, really small, you know what I mean? When he shrinks down, then you can have like sets that are really...
Oh, you would say that because you like the props department.
Yeah. When I helped out with a musical in high school, I was one of the technical directors and built all the sets. Mm-hmm. So that's my expertise, I guess.
Yeah. High school.
Yeah.
And
no experience
after
that, but I ran the fog machine too, so pretty good at that.
I will say that I never know what any of these questions are.
Yeah.
And Hoagie does, so he's had time to think about it.
I have. Yeah.
That was such a good answer.
Sorry.
That's okay. Mine was good too, I mean, right?
You choose not to know ahead of
time. Yeah. He's not like forcing me to not see anything. I just like to be surprised.
Yeah.
So we ate really good this past week, like we always do. We did not go out on a date that was not the movies, though. I'll tell you that. Because our next date's supposed to be the movies.
That sentence wasn't a great one.
Oh, that's my bad.
So you had an extra knot in there. We did not go on a date that was the movies.
Well,
we didn't go to the movies.
Yep, we didn't go to the movies. We went and got dinner. We were going to get it to go from the brewery, but we did decide to just kind of hang out and eat in there quickly. It was very busy, but they had a special that we wanted to get. Well, Hoagie really wanted to get their
carrot cake, cheesecake. Yeah, and like
that's what brought us in.
They ran out.
They make homemade cheesecakes, and yeah, they ran out. So, but we did get their Stony Bologna hamburger sandwich, which was all the things. It was two hamburger patties, fried mac and cheese bites.
Well, smash burger patties.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying. Correction corner. Mac and cheese bites and fried bologna. And what else was on there?
There's some cheese.
Yeah.
What was on there? The creature sauce?
Yes, which is kind of like a...
It's like a mix of everything.
Yeah.
Good. So every bite like was a different experience. Yeah, I loved it. So that was in celebration of a holiday in Michigan.
We shared that. And then also they were out of waffle fries because we normally like to get waffle fries. Oh, so yeah. We got their mac and cheese bites.
Oh, yeah. Those were really good. Yeah. They were different than the mac and cheese on the burger, like the mac and cheese bites on the burger. But the side dish was really good.
I feel like normally when you get mac and cheese bites at like a restaurant, they're kind of like the, you know, like they taste processed. Mm-hmm. These literally tasted like fresh macaroni and cheese. Like just
fresh.
Yeah.
Like fresh. From the garden.
Yep. From the garden. Homegrown mac and cheese.
Yep.
And then just like tossed into a little bit of hot oil. So good. Hot fire flames.
Yeah.
So what day was that? I don't even remember. But we also had sausage and pepper sandwiches this week that were really tasty. Anything to note about? Oh, I did sauerkraut on those this week. Yeah. I don't normally
sauerkraut do that. And banana peppers in the sandwich. Yeah, that was good.
Sauerkraut's supposed to be really good for you. So
yeah,
good for our tummies. Mm-hmm. We did do Trader Joe's orange chicken. It was on the docket this week, but
yeah, it was kind of a flop because of the new air fryer. So we gotta adjust our cook times on our favorite recipes. It wasn't perfect.
No, I'm just kind of doing everything exactly time wise what I would have done with my old air fryer, and then kind of scaling it back if I need to. And I definitely think I need to scale that back because it was extra crispy.
Well, it was very crispy, but like the inside, wasn't great. So yeah,
I mean, it wasn't raw.
Well, I know, but a lower cook temp could help.
Yeah, that's true. That's what we talked about.
And you had a couple of days off where you weren't working in the morning. So I came home for lunch one day and had the best sandwich in the world that had raspberry jam, mayo, chicken, bacon, lettuce, Havarti.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched, that was on Wednesday, because I watched Bad Batch while that was going on. Nice. So yeah, the new episode.
Because you finally finished all your Star Wars.
I did. I've seen, well, I don't know if Young Jedi Adventures is canon, but like my goal was to first watch all the canon audio video media, so cartoons, live action shows and movies and like what and cartoon movies and whatever. So I've watched everything that's canon except for I need to watch The Force Awakens or no, The Rise of Skywalker again, which like I hate. So I haven't made it a priority to watch it yet. But Young Jedi Adventures is made for like toddlers, so like I probably won't watch that. And then I want to switch up my watch list and start watching X-Men 97, but like May, June and July there's a whole lot of Star Wars content coming out, so I'll probably be flipping back and forth. So
oh, okay.
But yeah, update Star Wars update cuz we always have a Star Wars portion of the show.
Yeah. Even though this isn't a Star Wars podcast. Don't worry, I'm sure there'll be a D&D portion of the show, too. and I did just want to say that tonight, I'm decided I want to start doing crock pot meals on the nights we record. So that way, when we're, like, done. We don't have to, I don't have to like cook food or go get something. And so I have a yummy pasta thing that I've got cooking upstairs that smells so good.
Yeah.
It's like Rao's Alfredo sauce and Rao's roasted garlic marinara sauce and chicken, and it's going to be delicious. So.
Oh yeah.
Can't wait for that. And then I do have another food shout out, but you won't hear that until MTM.
MTM.
So that was our food. It was great. And then we did catch this week started. Well, I don't know if it started this week, but we watched it this week. The Circle is out.
Yes.
On
season
Netflix.
Six. It's in a new city. I think it's in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. It is in Atlanta.
Traffic jams, capital of the world.
Yeah.
Just kidding. There's some places in like China and India that are like crazy traffic jams. But
probably of the country. Well, LA is probably pretty bad, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But yeah, traveling through us Michiganders, we're always going to Florida for spring break. So
yeah.
Going through Atlanta is the worst. But I hate Miles.
Just jumped right in.
Yeah. He's like a MGK wannabe.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I just cannot stand him. He's just not pulling it off.
So for those of you that don't know what The Circle is,
oh, yeah,
let me just kind of back it up a little bit, let you know. It's like kind of like Big Brother, but they don't see each other.
And they don't have comps. It's not like Big Brother at all.
Well, they kind of vote people out. I mean, so it's like everyone's in their own apartment. And they like become influencers is like the goal, to be like upvoted or downvoted or whatever. And then like the top two people, the influencers in seasons past, got to not evict, but got to ban somebody.
Well, and I think like it's still going to happen that way. But this first episode, because they usually introduce like six people and then they keep introducing like more people, and then they're coming in at a disadvantage because they don't know everybody yet. So, like, this time, the influencers, instead of them just randomly being like, here's two more people, the influencers each got to decide one additional person.
Yeah.
And one of those additional people is an AI.
Bot.
Well, yeah. And so there's also, actually, I think it's Miles. Well, Miles is an AI developer.
Yes, that's right.
And, so it'll be interesting to see if like he can pick up on the fact that it's an AI, you know.
Yeah, guess we'll see.
Yeah. So, well, yeah.
So I didn't take very many notes, but I did write down everybody's names and just gave them thumbs up and thumbs down.
That's it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Who are your thumbs ups?
Well, I liked Cassie.
Yeah, she is like the Southern Circle version of Nicole on Big Brother.
Yes. We love her, so.
Yes.
And then what's the one guy who said he's like a Cabbage Patch kid?
Yeah, Olivia. Well, he's catfishing as Olivia with his friend. He says some really awkward stuff.
Yeah,
it's really uncomfortable.
He's funny, though.
The things he says. But yeah, he's like a little Cabbage Patch kid.
That's what he called himself.
And he was sus like to two people immediately, like right out of the gate. They both thought he used the word catfish when talking about him. So
because
he's not going to last very long.
Yeah. And he's not made for this. He'd be like me. He's already crying a lot.
He did cry.
He like sobbed.
Yeah.
But that's another thing about the show that I don't think we made note of, is that people can come in and like play somebody else.
Yeah.
Not like that. They don't have to be themselves. So he's playing like his friend or whatever.
Yeah. And usually the catfish people are always targeted. But like to me, I don't really get that. It's not like Traitors, where if a catfish makes it to the end, they win more money or something
right.
like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just whoever makes it to the end gets 100,000.
Right. Yeah.
You and know, so I don't get why I'd be fine. Like, oh, you're a catfish? Like, okay, whatever. That's weird. Want to
like,
be my alliance and vote people off?
Whoever
you know?
Has the best gameplay, I think, should be
like,
the priority.
I don't know. It's weird. But I think probably production just tells them, you got to get the catfish out.
Yeah.
You know? But catfish is like usually a bad
right, word. And they don't like people that are like fake and like not themselves,
right.
like whatever. So
in the first episode, they do this like question game, and they do this every season. So they have questions, and they're pretty much yes or no questions. And then after every question, it's revealed to everybody who picked what answer.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's pretty lopsided. So like one or two people stand out as like, wow, I can't believe they said that. But like, okay, so Miles, who I hate, I'm gonna say it again. He had like a little caveat for all of his questions. Like, that's a super bad strategy. Like, he's not able to explain, well, this is why I picked yes, you know?
Yeah.
But
he would say that though for every question, like to the viewer or right.
Like, okay, so like, yeah, to
give
yeah,
an example.
So one of the questions was, would you break up with somebody over text? And Miles was like, yeah, I guess if they were cheating on me, I'd break up over text with them. And then answered yes, and everybody else answered no, of course.
And everyone was like, wow,
Miles
savage.
Is a jerk, savage, yeah. And then like, and then he also said, like, or if it's something casual, like if I only went on one or two dates with them, I might break up over text. Like, and it was just like,
it was like the outliers.
Yeah. And then what was the other one? There was three of them. I only remember two, I think. But, you know, would you, if you found out your friend was cheating, would you keep it a secret? And everyone was like, yeah, it's none of my business. Like, I'm not
yeah,
getting
staying
in,
out
that's
of
messy.
It.
And then he was like, well, if somebody really pressed me, then I'd probably spill the
tea. I couldn't lie.
I couldn't lie if somebody really pressed me. So he said, no, he wouldn't keep it a secret. I'm like, bro, that's, you don't get this game, man.
And then he just looked like a total jerk, like, the whole time, which, honestly,
really
he was. So.
We'll see.
Pretty revealing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, how many episodes were released first? Was it four?
I think there's four, and then the...
More drop every week.
Yeah. Is it Wednesday? It's a certain weekday more come out.
Yeah, maybe we can watch
like
one tonight.
Yeah.
That'd
yeah.
be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... We have some Marvel rumors.
Okay.
I only have actually three bullet points for Marvel rumors. We are recording a little bit sooner into the week than, so it hasn't been a full week.
We're trying to figure out what works well for us schedule wise. So.
Yeah. Hasn't been a full week of rumor schedule. So, but here they are. So Blade.
Oh boy.
I love Blade.
Yeah, we know.
It's being rewritten for the fifth time. Yeah.
That's great.
So at one point it was like a period piece, and it's not anymore.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't. That I'm glad for that,
yeah.
Because I want Blade to be part of the Midnight Suns. The only way to do it is to make him current part of the MCU.
Relevant.
But also he did make like a voice cameo in an end credit scene for Eternals. That was Blade there. That was Mahershala Ali.
Okay.
So he is. Oh, Blade lives a long time because he's a vampire. So it wouldn't matter. You could make it a period piece and make him part of the Midnight Sun. So yeah. Anyway, it will tie in to the Midnight Sun. So I don't know. November 7th, 2025 could come out this year. But like at this rate with all the that'd be impossible. They haven't even written it. Yeah. That's going to get pushed back for sure.
I mean, who knows? It doesn't seem like it's that quality of content.
No.
Burn.
It's going to be good. That's why they keep redoing it.
Good to make it better.
Literally every comment on these news articles is like, good. Like, take your time. Do it right. You know?
Yeah.
Except Haley's like, probably sucks.
Yeah, probably.
So, Viv... Which is the Vision's daughter.
Oh.
He has a son as well named something else. But Viv.
Wait, Vision? Like WandaVision?
Yeah, the Vision. You know.
Who's the mom?
So they're robots. You don't have to have a mom.
Okay, well, you have to have a dad?
No. So, let me get to it.
Okay. I'm not just not tracking.
So, okay. This is what I think. If you want to read some comics to prepare for this show, I thought this was going to happen in, they were going to draw inspiration from this comic line for WandaVision, but they did not. They kind of did a little bit, but kind of not. So in Tom King's The Vision comics from 2015, very good. Like, reads like a Breaking Bad. Like, things just continue to get worse, and he's got to, like, do... more sort of questionable things to like keep up the lie and keep everything held together.
Okay.
Sort of thing. So, but it's very good. And in that, he creates a little cyborg or whatever family. And he lives in like in a subdivision, so it is very much like a Breaking Bad sort of thing. Yeah. And I think there's even like a Vision dog and like, I think there is a Vision wife in that, but you can just use programming and you build robots with tools.
Yeah, I get that now.
So. Okay, yeah. But yeah, that comic line is cool. So I think with Viv being rumored to be introduced, I think they're going to draw inspiration from that Vision comics from Tom King, and that's going to be an excellent show, I think. So that should be coming in July 2025.
Oh.
At least, I don't even know. Like, I look for these dates, and then I never believe them. So
yeah,
if that's coming in three months, I don't know. I don't know about that. But maybe. Maybe it's already done. I don't know.
It's not 2025.
You're right. It's 2024. Oh, wait. Oh, Blade, November 2020. I was thinking it was 2025 the whole time.
Oh, my goodness.
So maybe Blade will come out in 2025, November.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Oh, well, my goodness. We can't keep it straight.
Next year. It's been a week. Did anybody else get to Wednesday and just think, is it really only Wednesday?
Yeah. And like, it feels like today should definitely be at least Sunday.
No, because then you have to work tomorrow. That's true. Which we have to work tomorrow anyways.
Well,
anyway.
It feels like it should be Friday.
Time travel.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
So the new trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine came out last Monday, the day we released our last podcast.
I didn't even watch it yet.
Shoot.
I know.
Shoot. Do you want to like pause and then you can watch
that.
It? Okay,
yeah.
We're going to pause. Haley's going to watch it. Then we'll talk
BRB.
About it. Okay, we are back.
Welcome
just watch
back.
That trailer. Also, we're able to make some adjustments to... So we rearranged the studio this week.
Yeah, that was actually one of my... Well, spoiler alert, highs. I have lots of them, though. But yeah, we tidied up the basement and rearranged the podcast studio.
Haley thought she was going to arrange it so she could look at... We have this wall that's pretty much covered in mostly Marvel stuff. There's like... figurines and there's buttons and
comic books
and a light up sign from my previous podcast, but there's also a little Funko display, and I take one from the shelf and put it in the little carrier each week depending on what we're recording.
Yeah,
and I don't have a T'Challa one, but I do have a T'Challa one, but it's from the What If series when T'Challa was Star-Lord.
Yeah.
So that's the one that's been displayed for the last
But anyways,
year.
Typically our back is to this wall of fun stuff. And I was like, I want to rearrange the furniture so that way I can see all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
And
she put us on the wrong side.
Yeah. I put myself on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Hoagie can see it all.
So I guess we're going to rearrange again. And
no, I'm staying here. It is what it is. Anyways.
So we watched the trailer that came out Monday. Toad was in the trailer.
Love Toad. I was like, totally.
Totally. No, Toad, the X-Men.
Yeah.
I love Toad. Haley hates him.
Yeah.
A couple other things like there.
Lots of F-words.
Yep.
So
there was that giant Ant-Man in the void at the end of time from when the TVA trims something.
Yes.
So that giant Ant-Man, at first I thought it was just like his suit and they were like just living inside a suit. Uh-huh. No, there's teeth. Like it's like. Dead Ant-Man, they decided to make a home in it. So kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But well, yeah.
Lots of gore.
Yeah. And they're so
not,
they'll
don't
have
love that.
Okay. Well, it's a rated R film. That maybe it's not for everybody.
Lots of swear words and blood.
It's like no. So it looks like Cassandra Nova is either the big bad or you know, I don't know. Like some people think that this is the bad guy they're showing in the trailer, but really they'll be like a worser. Yeah, but I don't know. Cassandra Nova's like pretty powerful force. So Cassandra Nova is Charles Xavier's evil twin. She was kind of killed in the womb by his powers, like unintentionally, and she kind of like is like the darkest parts of Xavier personified. So she was kind of killed in the womb. This is in comics, but kind of killed in the womb, but then she was born into the astral plane, but then like comes into the material plane. And then she's responsible for the genocide of Genosha. Genosha is like a country/island/floating mutant, giant mutant X-Men that all the X-Men live on, and like also the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, like all the mutants go and live on to separate themselves from society because things get really bad and they just want to be separate and live a peaceful life. So they live on Genosha. Then Cassandra Nova comes up and kills everybody. So that storyline was used in X-Men 97, the cartoon. It's like currently happening. But the director, some people think, oh, well, Cassandra Nova's on the way then. But the director's saying, like, don't get your hopes up. But he says that if you're watching that, you won't be disappointed by what they're going to do. But they're doing a different twist. So,
okay.
Also, big question.
Yeah.
What happened in Wolverine's world? So he let the world down. The TVA agent said he let his whole world down. Deadpool says it went to poop emoji. And, you know, at that bar, like, he wasn't welcome. You're not welcome here. He's not welcome anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Then that bar was, like, similar to in, I think it's The Wolverine. That scene was very, you know, similar. So, yeah, but he's from a different timeline or a different multiverse or whatever.
So you think they'll show us that?
What do you mean? Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
That's the whole point of the movie, I think.
Oh, okay.
Well, a subplot is to figure out, you know, Wolverine's. Yeah, it's tied into because so Deadpool was saying at one point, like, you have, I don't know how to save the universe. You have experience in this, you know.
But right.
He failed somehow. Here's kind of a theory. Throw this out. I like to drop theories just in case they come true, which we did a lot on my previous podcast, I Can Marvel All Day.
Mm-hmm.
What if the way that Wolverine messed up is by not killing Jean Grey?
Because
he was conflicted about that, right? Like,
that's a good theory.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I came up with it. I didn't. I definitely didn't. But I like it.
Well, who came up with it?
The internet. You know,
I
saw it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, so, you're so honest, Hoagie.
Yeah, sorry. Well, everyone knows. Like, well, not okay, never mind. Some people would know. Somebody would call me out. Be like, you didn't come up with that. I have come up with theories that have come true, though.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that when we talk about Black Panther Wakanda Forever a little bit. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So that's all we got for rumors this week.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect. So we did watch Wakanda Forever this week, and our movie time meal TM, we had, if you follow us on Instagram at Marvelously Married, we had Vito and Nick's frozen pizza from Meijer. Is this okay, Hoagie? Sorry, the microphone?
No, yeah. When we rearranged, like, I don't know if a button got knocked.
Oh, no.
You're much quieter than I am. We'll fix it later.
Okay. Hopefully you guys are sticking with us.
Yeah. No, it'll sound good to them. It's just frustrating for me right now because I have the earphones on.
Oh, so you can't hear
me. So I'm like, I'm really loud. You're really quiet. Anyway,
oh, okay.
We'll fix it.
Behind the scenes.
BTS.
BTS. So Vito and Nick's is a restaurant in Chicago, a pizza restaurant that the first time we ever heard of it was I saw it on...
Diners, drive-ins, and dives with Guy Fieri.
I used to love watching that show. Honestly, I should get back into watching that show. I loved it. It was so good. But yeah, we saw it on that show, and Hoagie and I were like, well, mostly me, was like, we should go. It's not that far. It's only like 90 minutes away from where we live, I think.
No,
is it longer? 2 hours?
It's got to be at least 2 hours. It's in southwest Chicago. So it would be, I think it would be a little bit less time than going to downtown, especially when you traffic. Yeah. And we usually take the train. But anyway, yeah, it's.
But we've only ever driven to.
Two and a half, I'm sure. Yeah.
But anyways, it's just like a little hole in the wall dive.
I mean, they got carpet on the wall. They serve old style. That's Chicago's favorite.
Uh-huh.
You know,
it's just an old school bar. Like, it's really, it's a cool vibe.
They only have one pizza scooper. Pizza peel. And they throw it around the kitchen like a frisbee. So if you ever, you can order pizza at the bar too. and you can see them throwing that around. So yeah. It's really cool. But yeah, they only take cash.
Yep, just and a heads up.
There used to be a CVS across the street, but there's not anymore. I had to walk like a half mile to the gas station
the last time.
The last time we went in 2019. So just be prepared. Bring your cash. But
anyways, I saw at Meijer they had a frozen. So their thing is like a thin crust.
Thin cracker. Yeah, it's not like Chicago deep dish. It is a thin cracker crust.
Yes.
Very good toppings, too.
They have interesting toppings at the restaurant. Like, we always get the roast beef, I think, with like the jardiniere topping. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
Well, their sausage is really good, too.
That's what... Yes. Their sausage is so good. Anyways, so we had that for dinner. Funny, too, I don't know if for those of you that read the post, we seem to get a hankering for Vito and Nick's every April.
Every 5 years in the month of April, we have Vito and Nick's somehow. Not on purpose, but it's happened 3 times. So
yeah. This time was in the comfort of our living room, and it was tasty. I cut it just like they cut it at the restaurant. They cut a round pizza into little squares. So it was good. Definitely we'll be getting those again.
I had a tequila and Baja Blast with that dinner.
Yeah, with your pizza and salad.
Which is probably the latest I've ever had a caffeine drink, but it just sounded really good.
And we watched Black Panther, the Wakanda Forever. I had, oh, my little like cherry juice, lime mocktail fresca situation. And yeah, we watched Wakanda Forever. Runtime much longer than
two hours 42 minutes, which for us with a puppy and just us and our habits took us like probably 5 hours. I don't know.
I don't think it took us 5 hours, Hoagie.
We started at 5:30. And we finished at 10:30.
No, we finished a quarter to 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was lying.
Yeah. Well, you weren't lying.
Four hours plus to watch a three-hour movie. That's not that bad.
That's not terrible. But yes, that was our meal time. The salad was so good, too. I'm like, if I'm having pizza, I'm having a salad. That's one thing you got to know about me. Also, I never did my tip and trick at the beginning. I just realized.
Skipped
anyways.
But yeah, this was our first time watching this movie at home.
Yeah, we've only seen it one other time in the theaters.
Yep.
Before the movie, too, we did watch the night before another one of those behind the scene little special documentary things.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah. Wasn't a make or break. I think we would have been fine not watching it. Wasn't anything like totally earth shattering awesome, but it was fun to see some of that going into this movie.
Yeah. So if it's your first time watching, or second time, or third time, or fourth time.
or fifth time,
or sixth time, get your tissues.
Oh my goodness.
This movie is emotional. It has a very like solemn.
Let me just say, if you have ever, which is probably should be everybody, experienced some sort of loss, grief of some sort, you have experienced some grief in your life, in any capacity really, you need to watch this movie because it just felt very real. Like,
yeah. Well, in theaters, this is when they did the Chadwick Marvel intro, the title screen, which they did go back and change the first Black Panther movie to that later.
Yes.
But yeah, in theaters and when it plays, it's totally silent. Like it you're like it's right from the get-go because then in the film he's dying like it's and sure he's very emotional and later in the movie spoilers if you haven't seen it go watch it but Angela Bassett dies.
Oh my
god, everybody dies.
I know,
Namor's mom dies.
Yeah, we'll get to that, the end of the movie with Shuri. But I will say, too, in the beginning, it's like that realization. Obviously, we all know, like, he really did die. So it's like, it's just real on multiple levels.
Yeah, yeah. So I wrote, I did a little Gen Z note.
Okay.
It started out not on purpose, but then I just kind of went with it and embraced it. But okay. I said, NGL, I low-key like this version of Namor, no cap, FR.
Yeah, so, wow.
Translation, I like this version of Namor.
not gonna lie. I know that's what NGL means, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good job.
So Namor in this version is it Mayan? Yeah, he's Mayan, mm-hmm. right? And in comics, he's just some guy, just some white dude, half Atlantean, half human.
Mm-hmm.
He has no like special culture, you know what I mean? Like yeah. this was very unique because it was like a Mayan culture, but they were also from the sea and like all this stuff. And like in the comics, he's just like kind of like a mermaid.
You yeah, know?
It's,
yeah.
It's not that. So it's pretty much Namor is a ripoff of Aquaman.
Right? Yeah. Like yeah. yeah. yeah.
So it's pretty much just the same character, but you know, a lot of people were like against it, but I love it. I just say like give
really
it a chance.
It
like sometimes changes for the better when they make these movies, mm-hmm. and you know, even in this version, his name Namor or I can't do the accent well, but No Love you translated, mm-hmm. you know, and. Whereas in comics, it's just literally Roman backwards. Like, come on.
Dumb.
Yeah, it's no originality there.
I also just liked, because like you were saying with his Mayan culture, the like the Wakanda, they're like really deep rooted in their culture, like the balance of the two, like you just they're coming from like the same spot of
right.
like what why they're doing and acting the way they're acting. So I think that really made the film, like to have that background.
I think what's really interesting is, so like if you kind of look at history and you look at culture of like what's interesting, unique, that's what's pretty neat about any culture, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of almost always are looking backwards. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. the further back you go, the more unique cultures are, because they didn't have the World Wide Web to connect them. So there were big differences, even over 1,000 miles or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So typically, as civilization moves forward and more technology advances or whatever, cultures just become more and more diluted.
Mm-hmm.
It all becomes kind of one culture with just a few minor differences, mm-hmm. you know, and there are people, some people really celebrate and, you know, like exemplify, embrace their diversity, and other people just kind of like go with the group, mm-hmm. or whatever. Anyway, these two cultures were given, instead of technology developing slowly over time, were given a resource that like advanced their technology super quickly. And then because of that, they decide to shut them off from the world. So, mm-hmm. like, they both have that, like, it's, you know,
yeah, very,
they both have that in common. It's very cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the word. I can't think of it. But anyways, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. But, like, where was Namor when Thanos attacked, right? Because, like, Thanos was trying to kill the whole universe. You'd think
yeah,
Namor.
But Namor kind of wanted to do that, too. Well, I guess he didn't want to be killed.
I mean, no, like it would have, Thanos would have
yeah,
snapped and like half the Atlanteans
right,
went away for 5 years and Namor just didn't even come out of the water to be like, what's going on? But anyway,
wow, so
continuity
true.
Problems. But
wow. Oh, you're so good.
Namor in universe is kind of a selfish prick.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad though, as far as like his character compared to the comics, I'm really glad that they still made him the first mutant. And he uses the word mutant
in the
film.
Movie.
And, you know, in comics as well, he's the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Apocalypse is... I got to look that up. I think it's Namor. But, yeah. That's what I have to say about Namor.
Yeah, his costume was really in line with the comic books, too. His outfit. And
oh,
stuff,
yeah. Like his little shorts and the winged feet.
Yeah, the winged feet and everything like that. So, I loved the relationship between Agent Ross and his ex-wife.
Yeah, Valentina.
Yeah. I liked that. I thought that was funny. And of course I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see more of her in coming
Yeah.
Movies, hopefully.
Yeah. I think she'll be like definitely the leader of the Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
And it seems like she's assembling the team, so she'll probably lead it as well.
Right.
But yeah. So I made a note about how well Angela Bassett plays her role.
Oh my gosh, so good.
Like perfectly. Like she wrote it herself. And it's so perfect. And then as I was writing that, then she died, and that was like a total gut punch. And I forgot she died.
I know, me too.
So like, it was like, oh, yeah. Like right as soon as I wrote that. But yeah,
I mean, I definitely remember when we saw the movie in theaters, walking away and it feeling very impactful. But there was just something about watching it the second time. I don't know if it's where I'm at in my life. I may be in a different spot, like coming outside of, you know, grief, to be honest. You know, I've been doing a lot of grieving the past couple of years. And when we saw the movie, I feel like in the thick of grieving, but now I'm on the other side of that. And so it's like, it felt healing. Like it literally, the movie felt healing, in a lot of ways. And that was great. But when for Cherie to lose both her brother and her mom, and it was just yeah
and they I mean, grieving was a topic of the film twice.
Yeah,
like they, and they had a flash forward, like I think I'm getting this right, but in their culture it's customary to grieve for 1 year.
Yeah,
you know, and then they have a ceremony to like end the grieving, and there's a whole like and then so she has to go through it again with her mother, and and then her and M'Baku have a whole conversation because Shuri tends to just bury herself. He's like, don't bury yourself in your work like you did with your brother, you know. So
I thought it was interesting that she, so then because she did not bury her funeral garments from the funeral of her brother, if you remember, her mom burned them, but Shuri did not. So she wore the same thing. Is that right? Was I catching on to that right?
Well, you just said her mom burned them. So how could
she? No, her mom burned hers.
Oh.
But Shuri did not burn.
Oh, I don't know.
Because do you think then, like, do they wear like a full different funeral garment? Because she had the same thing, like the earrings and the same headdress and everything in both funerals. And then she burned it at the end.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I mean, Shuri, you can't judge Wakandan culture based on Shuri because she.
Right. Breaks I just didn't know if you noticed that too.
So Shuri's character, I thought, it was really cool. So this was something that I said on I Can Marvel All Day, and then it came true, and I was like, yes.
Ooh, okay, a theory?
Yeah, so in comic books, I mean, I think for the past 10 years, Shuri's been the Black Panther. So for all the people are saying, you know, recast T'Challa, we don't want Shuri to be the Black Panther, it's like, she just is. Like,
yeah.
And they're going to reboot the Marvel Universe soon anyway, so like, what's the point of... But maybe Prince T'Challa. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second.
Spoiler.
But so she in comics, she is a martial artist and then becomes Black Panther. So she's very much like already on that, you know, that skill set. However, in the Marvel universe, they made her very techie. She's the chief scientist.
Oh, so she wasn't techie in the comic books.
I think all Wakandans are techie.
Okay.
But it wasn't as much as an emphasis as in the MCU.
Okay.
So I thought it was really cool that they incorporated her tech into her Black Panther suit. And she had those sonic arms, you know? And like, that's what I was saying like before they made the movie. And then it happened and it blew my mind. I was like, I'm a genius.
Predicted the future.
But it also only happens for like 20 seconds before the sonic hands like get destroyed. So
yeah.
And then she had to just rely on fighting, which like, the herb does give her a lot of athletic power. So like, I'm not doubting that she can't fight without her tech, but it's just like a rad addition to her character to make it unique and different from T'Challa. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying she can't fight. It's just,
Yeah, that was pretty legit. I also loved the theme of like, Shuri, kind of like you mentioned a bit ago, like fighting against the culture, like, because I feel like that's a really prevalent thing as generations, the younger generations come, you know, into positions of leadership and things like that in our world. So that felt very relatable. Like, you know, I feel like younger people always, I mean, even like us and you, it's like when you're young, you feel like you have all these different ideas and stuff like that. And I just felt like that was really relatable. Like,
yeah,
for her to want to be different and fight against what everyone's always told her she should just believe and do.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that makes me wonder, you know, if they'll continue to break tradition, and will there be more than one Black Panther? Because right now, so this is another thing that I talked about in my last podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my idea was, so you have Shuri, but Shuri without the herb, like, honestly, like, isn't a martial type fighter. Yeah. Like, she's not, she in the last movie, we only saw her fight with her sonic hand cannon and stuff. So her to fight without the powers in the ritual combat, I was like, she's not going to win a fight.
Yeah.
You know, so my idea was you have M'Baku step in as her champion and fight on her behalf as like a way to honor T'Challa and the promise he made to T'Challa to watch after her and all this stuff. So that doesn't happen. But something close happened at the end of the movie. Instead of her stepping out of the jet, it was M'Baku, and he's like, I want a challenge for the throne as king. He didn't necessarily say, I want a challenge for the mantle of Black Panther. He just said as king. But it kind of leaves the door open of, like, is M'Baku going to have, is he going to be a Black Panther? Or is he going to take the herb but continue to be... I think he had a name other than M'Baku.
Oh.
Yeah. Is this one of the ones where it was kind of offensive so they didn't include it? I'm not sure. But M'Baku has like a superhero name kind of.
Okay.
In comics. And so I'm wondering, like, will he still be part of the monkey ape tribe and represent that, but with the powers of the herb? Like, I don't know. And then also you have T'Challa's son, who's also named Prince T'Challa.
Ugh.
Will he be Black Panther soon?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe you have three Black Panthers. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It does seem like there's a possibility of breaking tradition, having more than one Black Panther, because I can't really see Shuri giving up her powers.
Right. Yeah. She doesn't seem the type.
Yeah, she's like, it was kind of cool. She likes to be involved in the action. Like, time and time again, her mom's telling her, don't do this. And she's like, I'm doing it.
Yeah, she's just kind of just going, doing what she wants to do.
Yeah.
That's why I thought it was so cool how when she took the herb, how she saw Killmonger, and that whole conversation was really good.
It created a lot of, like, you saw this internal conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she's fighting Namor at the end, when she could have killed him, and like, you have like Killmonger on one shoulder and you have Angela Bassett on the other shoulder.
Well, and you just straight up thought that Shuri just got killed. Like, you're like, okay, and she's dead. Like, that's what I thought. I remember the first time I saw it, when he spears her, like, to the thing.
Oh,
you're
right, like, right. Oh, I thought you meant when she saw Killmonger, you thought she was dead. I was like,
No. When she's fighting Namor, and you're like, okay, well, and then she, like, digs real deep, pulls herself off that, and then is, like, literally coming for Namor to kill him, and then,
That was a really good fight, in, like, all the different ways. The whole, like, last half hour of the movie is just incredible. Like, some of the things, like, they had that big ship in the ocean, they're fighting the Atlanteans, and, like, you have the ape tribe pulling the Dora Milaje, like, quickly, you know, like, they just, like, run, and the Dora Milaje come up on their harnesses and get them out of the water, and, like, they're just doing so much, like, coordinated stuff. It's really super cool. Yeah. The Blue Angels come in. Is it the Blue Angels?
Midnight Angels.
They come in, which is cool. Totally different look than the comics, but, you know, it was still, you know, the same idea. That was really cool. And then, Namor versus Shuri.
Yeah.
And the ways that she coordinated to, like, dry out his skin, and the things she thought of, and then, like, them fighting on that beach, and, like,
It was good.
Yeah.
And I loved, like, the scenes he sees, too, when he's kind of... I love how they keep bringing up his mom and, you know, her. It's just... Yeah, it was a very, very well thought out, it seemed. Everything was thought of.
And I always love a good, like, superhero that's, you know... I don't know if you even call it an underdog. Physically, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, physically, Namor is just a different race of people that's just way more powerful than Shuri. But, like, she outsmarted him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a Spider-Man vibe where he's, like, almost every villain Spider-Man fights, he has a disadvantage, but he figures out a way.
Right. Yeah. Know? And you're always like, how are they going to do it? Like,
yeah.
How is this going to work? And then they just do, and you're like, oh, that's how.
Yeah. Because when Atlantis, they don't call it Atlantis in this movie. And I keep saying Atlantean, but they have a different city name. I can't think of it.
Oh, Tolka. Tolka
starts with a T for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Tolaka.
So when they attack Wakanda, it is like game over. Like, you're like, oh, what is Wakanda gonna do? Like,
yeah,
they're screwed, you know.
Well, and it's interesting that they're just the whole premise of it, that these two worlds fighting, and it's like there's like this whole other universe going on of like Earth, and it's like they're fighting against each other. It just was it's like crazy.
There's another
Tolakin.
Okay, I don't think that's how you pronounce
Tolakin.
It. Yeah, but that's the definitely all the right sounds.
Yeah,
they're there.
They're there.
There's another kingdom led by a superhero / villain that I hope comes into play, and that's Dr. Doom is the king of. Why can't I think of it? Because we weren't talking about Dr. Doom, and I didn't remember to prepare. But Dr. Doom, his people love him. Like, and it's very interesting for that character because he's like a super powerful evil bad guy, but his people think he is like the greatest. Like, he takes care of them very well. So it's But like
Latveria.
Yeah. 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 So, because I was going to say Latvia, but I'm like, that's not it. But yeah, so like those kingdoms are always like coming into play, like in the comic books. And so sometimes you have Latveria attacking Wakanda too. And
okay.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they're going to play Dr. Doom's character this time. But
I loved the people, the Namor's people, like their, the way they moved and stuff too. It was like they moved like water.
Yeah.
Like, they were so quiet, and just, I felt like this time around I made special note of that. Like, wow, they're like, they move really cool. And also, I think we noticed, I'm not exactly sure if it's like this, but when they're out of the water is when their skin is blue.
Yeah.
And when they're underwater,
it's a normal hue.
It's like the oxygen affects.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their color of their skin. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. So what's your final thoughts on this movie and your rating and everything?
First of all, we never even brought up Ironheart.
Yeah, Ironheart. So I did make a small note and we skipped over it. I forgot about it. So really, really still hate her suit. Those giant shoulders look like Samus. And,
yeah, I mean, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to make her look like a heart, you know? Like,
okay.
Yeah, it's like, I guess, her heart. But I don't think it should be like, I feel like the focus should be the chest plate, like the heart chest plate. I really like her character. I think she's like really cool.
Oh, me too. And I'm excited for the future. I hope that they try to make her a more comic accurate suit going forward. But everything else about her was great.
Yeah. I also just feel like her storyline is very like you would hear of something possibly happening like that. Like just a really smart person that's like just working on a campus. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
I liked her. So wanted to make sure that she got a shout out.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Like, good character for the film. So, I mean, she was very much a part of it because she developed the tech to find the vibranium in the ocean. So,
yeah, exactly. So she was a very big part.
Yeah.
So you said final ratings.
Yeah. What's your final thoughts on the movie?
Everybody should watch it, especially if you've experienced any form of grief or loss. Great movie about the human experience. I give it a 5.
Me too.
Yay.
Yeah. So I give this one a 5, which like it's kind of weird. Okay, Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know. Nobody else notices this because me. I mean,
because
me. I don't let you notice it. No. But I don't think there's many people out there that would notice this because like they don't regularly search for Rotten Tomato movie ratings to talk about in a podcast.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But Google in their search results used to list the critic's score as, like, when you search for it, the preview always showed the critic's score. Now it shows the audience score.
Oh.
Which is great, because I really don't care about the critic's score anymore. Like, yeah. I just never really agree with it. I always side more with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, Black Panther, I gave a 5, and that would line up more with the critics because the audience score was lower.
Oh.
But in Wakanda Forever, the audience score was much higher than the critics. The audience score is at 94% on this movie.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I'm giving a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
It's very high stakes, very dark, very somber feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. It holds up to the first one. Very emotional, inspiring again. Mm-hmm. Like I love the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Very good. The visuals captivating, mm-hmm. like excellent. The feel is just very different from the first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So like it feels like it is a different director.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's not, it's Ryan Coogler both times. And like, that's just amazing. That shows you the capabilities of not only him, but like the entire cast and production and everybody, but like Ryan Coogler's range of being able to make one movie feel like this and one movie be like completely different. Yeah. Like he's not doing the same thing, even when it is a sequel.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was, you know, a very good product that they put out, and also very different, and it excels. What they set out to do, I think they did. And it's a perfect movie.
Yeah. I think also this is one of the first times where the after credit clip picks up right from the end of the movie. Like,
oh, you mean the scene?
Yeah.
Like the actual content of the clip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is straight from the last scene of the movie, too. I thought that was interesting.
And in this movie, they also, okay, like, I really liked how they ended it with clips of Chadwick
mm-hmm.
from the movie. It's Shiri thinking of like flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says like in memory of our friend Chadwick Boseman. And then it's just quiet. And the credits there's no end credit. There's only the mid credit scene, which you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
where the young Prince T'Challa is introduced. But
which didn't know it was a whole movie about being an aunt.
Pretty much it is the whole movie. First one was about being an uncle.
Aunt and uncle movie.
Aunt and uncle movie. I really liked, so this movie starts with T'Challa like both like in universe and out. So it starts with T'Challa with the story and also the title screen, the Marvel mm-hmm. Studios title screen. And then it ends with T'Challa and both the Shuri's memories and then the reveal of Prince T'Challa and then the note about Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
So it really tells a story that still gives everybody else, like everybody else is shining. Everybody else is doing mm-hmm. great, but also like really honors Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really done well.
Yeah.
Respected, it's still, I think it, like it's still part of his legacy. You
yeah,
know? And,
absolutely.
And that's really cool that it, like, he kind of lives on a little bit through this movie.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that was one thing that we learned in the behind the scenes clip too, is that he has a foundation through Howard University now where they are giving scholarships to, you know, I'm not exactly sure what all the requirements or whatever are, but that is really cool that, because he was very passionate about his,
yeah, he graduated from there, right?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And he's been very involved in his life and now, you know, after his life, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So now to wrap up the podcast, we always like to do lows and highs.
TM.
Yep, of our week. So we always start with the lows because we like to end on a high.
Yep.
So I have written down here, my low seems pretty basic, but it hasn't been that long of a week yet. Although, like Kogi said, it seems like it's been forever. The weather has been crap this week.
Hmm.
Today was the only like nice day. It's been like rainy and cold, much colder this week.
Yeah, true.
So that's kind of bummed me out because I, leading into my high, have had a slower work week, which has been nice to be home with the dogs a little bit more. But we haven't been able to play outside.
Mm.
So yeah, those are my highs and lows.
Okay. My low is I am super overwhelmed with house projects and the car. So I did a lot of work on my car last weekend, but I have more to do this weekend.
Yeah.
Our front porch roof is basically falling apart because mm-hmm. there's like a leak in the shingles, and we have to paint the back deck, and we have junk in the yard we got to get hauled out, and just like a lot of different house projects. And I have this list that just seems like it's never going to end, and I'm just overwhelmed with it. But because everything needs to be done soon.
Yeah.
So that way we can plant your little herb garden.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, well, the main thing is, yeah, my garden.
Okay. I mean, our roof is caving in, but yeah, the main thing is the garden.
Well, the garden is a time sensitive. I guess it's all time sensitive, though. So yeah. That's the problem, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
We'll get it. We'll figure it all out.
My high is my new Dogecoin.
Yes.
Which Becca was opening mini brands. Yes. And like this was in there inside a FedEx box. It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then she opened it and she was like, "What's that?" And then
he was like, oh, "Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it?"
It's perfect.
He's so excited about it.
But yeah, so like Doge, when Doge got like real big and it like grew in value and everyone thought it would be the next Bitcoin, and then it like didn't. But like I like rode the wave. I was investing like little by little, and I think I turned like $120 and like $700, and then, you know, we bought like an Apple Watch for Haley and a 3D printer for me. I did not hold. I did not take it to the moon. I don't have diamond hands. I did sell at the right time and had fun with it. And I think that is also in the spirit of Doge, to buy yourself something nice. So yeah. I think Doge would be okay with it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
The Doge, like I wanted at the time, like an actual coin, and I kept Googling it, couldn't find anything. I did 3D print one of them.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I gave it to Shan, who was my co-host on I Can Marvel Day.
Yeah.
And I used to work closely with him, and, but now I have one. And so anytime I got to flip a coin, this is going to be the way to do it. So I'm like, in D&D, if we got to flip a coin, it's going to be the Doge coin. I'm very excited. So
I love that.
So this is our outro. Submit D20 questions.
Yes,
if you want to do that,
please.
This week.
Also, we kind of decided on a new system for what movies we're going to watch next. We'll basically bebop back and forth. I'll pick, then Hoagie will pick, then I'll pick. There's just two of us here, so that's how that's going to go. So I picked the last one, kind of the last two, the Black Panther ones and Wakanda Forever. So Hoagie gets to pick next.
Yeah. So I'm picking Daredevil from 2003.
Oh.
Not the Netflix show, the movie with Ben Affleck. And
Jennifer Garner as Elektra.
Yeah. Oh, it has a star-studded cast. There are many, many people. You know, you have the Colin Farrell surfing on a motorcycle.
Oh yes, yeah.
And you have who's the guy that plays Kingpin? Like he did I can't remember his name, but he did such a good job. I'll know his name next episode.
Yeah.
But actually, Jon Favreau's in there. He plays Foggy.
Yes.
So yeah, yeah. I mean, there's
I'm excited.
Yeah, the movie's like another. I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. I enjoy it. I like the movie. It doesn't have like the best ratings, but like I love it. And
yeah.
It's one of those movies. Like, so I had it on DVD and like watched it repeatedly growing up. And so early high school.
Yeah.
I
definitely think that's one of our first like movies that we bonded over. Liking superhero
like
movies.
Marvel superhero movies. Yeah. Yeah. So that comes to I almost said Netflix. It comes to Disney Plus May 1st, so that's why we're doing it, because it'll be a new release to Disney Plus May 1st, next Wednesday, and we're going to watch it next Wednesday when it releases, or maybe Thursday, I don't know. But they are trying to release this ahead of the Daredevil Born Again, the new series coming out. Yeah,
I was going to say, we'll have to dust off the DVD player, but I see it's coming to streaming.
Yes,
so
yeah, we'll be able to watch it. So.
Cool. Well, this has been fun.
Well, have a good week, everyone.
Yeah, I hope everybody has a great weekend. Good week, actually, because this is coming out on Monday.
Okay,
bye. Thanks for listening.